Good afternoon, good evening. How are you? You know what? I'm here. This is Veronica Entwistle. I'm here in Bellingham, Washington, and I have to tell you that it is the most beautiful day. It is absolutely bright and clear. We're looking at the water. We're looking at the mountains. And oh my, so I just wanted to say that as we start Radiance by Design. And it really is interesting when the day is beautiful, when the sun is shining, and when we're feeling absolutely surrounded by beauty, it is more radiant, isn't it? Radiance by Design is a show all about you, and what we're going to talk about today is sometimes we stop ourselves. We radiate what has been in our life and what reactions we have, as well as our own special soul print, as well as our own special enthusiasms, as well as our own special light. It's amazing. And what we're trying to do here with Radiance by Design is learn how to unravel those things that kind of dull our light and let our radiance come out clearer and brighter and reach out its wonderful vibrational fingers and talk to the world, also to raise the frequency of the collective. That's another thing, is all of us listening to Radiance by Design or participating in Radiance by Design actually can impact the collective by clearing, by becoming authentic about who you are and raising your fields and frequencies and connecting with other people who are also either stimulated by your higher fields and frequencies or are being prodded to open and transform themselves as well. Isn't that exciting? I kind of think of it as my politics right now. I'm not going to talk about the election. Other people can do that. My politics is how can we individuate and really get stronger about what we truly believe in, the ideals that we know that can happen when we learn to love ourselves first and we spread that out, radiate that out for others so that we all get lifted. What would happen then? We might even all look after each other, right? So what the guides were saying at the beginning, and I wrote to some of you are on my mailing list. If you're not on my email list, which tells you what's coming up on the show every week, let me know, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I'll put you on it. And what I have said about this week's show is that we're going to talk today about the kind of hidden reactions, and they're probably, the guides were saying this when we were channeling a while back, that they're probably, many of those hidden reactions are really in kind of in sync with or a part of our soul journey how we start out this life. And they may actually thread their way through our lives, all the way through our lives. The guides are very clear. Don't be distressed and upset if you don't get rid of things, but you want to make them manageable. We want to be able to call up reactions and those things that thwart our expansive nature. We want to be able to call them up, feel them, and then change their impact. I noticed one of my clients this week is, I guess he's 61 years old. And he's had a really interesting professional life. He's had his dealings with addictions and so on, but really he's had a couple of marriages. He's in a wonderful marriage right now. And he and his wife and his children, who are all, everybody's in great shape, including him, are stepping out of an old process, an old way he lived, in order to create a brand new world. And this world is going to include being more in nature, being an entrepreneur, buying land, setting up a kind of a school situation, equine therapy, and so on. And this is a wonderful, wonderful man, and I have seen him face, known him for many years, and I have seen him face some huge challenges which look like, uh-oh, this guy, Jiggers, is really in big trouble, and he's doing his visualization, his creation. He is being so amazingly magical when it looks like his game is up and that he's in big trouble. And that's situations like somebody wants him to pay back $300,000 when he doesn't have any money and he's trying to make a change in his life. He melted that with his consciousness, with his visualization. All of a sudden, it was gone. The whole situation was gone. It was a no thing. There were a number of these kinds of things, and we'd all breathe. There were a number of us, several of us anyway, working with visualization with him. Do we have a call already? Good morning. Good afternoon. Good heavens, I thought it was morning. It's so beautiful out.
Hi.
We'll take this call, and then I'll finish my story.
Hi. I can wait for you to finish.
Okay. Hang on, then. What I wanted to say is this fellow has already shown great magic as he stepped out of a way of being. And what I'd really like to say today is yesterday I was speaking with him and his wife. We were talking about a new business venture, and he was becoming fascinating to me. He was going back into a pattern of hiding and being almost invisible, like you wouldn't notice him in a room. Not that we all have to be noticed all the time, but he was moving back and becoming kind of weak and absolutely unobtrusive and undemanding and so on. And I'm watching this going, And what he was doing was reverting to a style of self-protection that he had been using when he was a little wee boy and under the stresses of his childhood. And he had used this pattern over and over again in his life. And it was fascinating to me because when we drew the pattern up, when we had him feel it and express it, and how it was at, say, 4 or 5 years old, a response to his mother's steady judgment or his comparison with siblings or whatever. You know, there are a number of ways in which he established this pattern where he shied away from interaction. Once we brought it up, his whole body changed. It was like, psh, the energy just shot through his body, and all of a sudden, there he was, this amazing, radiant fellow about ready to take on another level of magic in his life at 61 years old. 61 years young. So it reminded me that we should talk about these patterns and bring them up in ourselves and do some clearing, because these are the things that we think we do in defense, but they might stop us from doing our life purpose, from evoking a huge change in our lives. So that's the way we're going to go through the show today, and we're hopefully going to do some patterning or some programming that'll bring us to much greater joy. We're going to be doing the structures, and we're going to take your calls. I'm excited about your calls, and we already have one awaiting on the line. Welcome, you're on the air. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I enjoyed your sharing.
You have to speak up loudly. I can't hear you for some reason.
I enjoyed your sharing.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. You know, actually, I'm really not sure what my question should be about.
Well, that's okay. What's your name?
Cindy.
Vicky?
Cynthia.
Cynthia. Great. Okay, Cynthia. Well, you know, if you like, we'll just read on you anyway.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
But you know that my emphasis today is not just on readings, but it's going to be on a style of self-protection you use that might just simply prevent you from expanding into a different way of being. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm going to look for.
Okay.
And you are a really, you have been, okay, you're going to change radically over the next while, so you're appropriate as a caller. And that there is a way in, are you getting out of a relationship?
I'm debating. I'm struggling with that.
Okay, I want to say this. I'm not going to tell you to get out or not, but I will tell you this, that there's a way you are in this relationship that is making you feel kind of almost, it's almost like you're so occupied being in interaction that you're forgetting how vital and vibrant you really are. Does that make sense?
Completely.
And what's interesting about that is, so the guides are saying very quickly, is whether or not you leave the relationship, you can address that particular quality. And if this person is willing, because sometimes the other person isn't willing to have change, but it looks like this person may be a bit confused or dumbfounded or critical about it, but would wait through it. But you have the ability to absolutely change your what would we call it? I suppose codependency, but that word is so overused we don't quite know what it means anymore. But when I look at it, is you're living in a series of reactions. I'm going, let's back up and see if we can unhook you from the reactive aspect of the nature, because what you are inside is someone who is really, really creative, very empathic, and really needs to do your whole life in such a way as to get into harmony with that. So it's like teaching something to do with art, and the guides are saying, or mathematics. I'm like, oh, great, you know. It's got that kind of theoretical flow like art does, you know. But there's something that you need to start doing that is very different from what you've been doing before in order to reach in and then bring out that flow of self that is really deep in you and really profound. And I don't think it's about releasing the relationship totally, although you could do that. Sometimes we do that because it's easier. I think it's about extricating yourself from the pattern between the two of you. You understand?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Does that help work your question out?
It does. It does.
Do you want to scream?
Do I want to? I'm sorry?
Do you want to scream?
Do I want to scream?
Yeah.
At times, yes.
Well, tell me this. What do you do for a living?
I'm a counselor.
Oh, good. That's a good thing for you to be.
Yeah, and you know the old saying about the plumber that plumbs other people's sinks.
Yeah, or the electrician's toaster never works.
Yes.
But the thing about you, okay, I'm a counselor too, right?
Yes.
But the thing about us is that we're delving into the human dynamic. And guess what? That's never done. And so there's an aspect of your work, to me, that needs to, you need to be plunging in a little bit farther. And there's a whole creative drive that needs to come up in your not only your work, but your beingness, which includes your work. Does that make sense?
It does.
How are you going to deal with that? That's probably your biggest question.
I really believe creating my own financial independence is a step toward identifying with the real me.
Okay. Do you think you will have to leave in order to do that?
No. No. I'm working on being more financially healthy. And once that happens, I think the pieces fall into place with the way that I connect with this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it seems like you keep going back into a pattern where you're a lot smaller than what you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And he doesn't, you know, is it a he?
Yes.
Yeah. He, bless his heart, he doesn't know any better.
No, he doesn't.
So it's not like, oh, you've got a big poo head there. I don't see that. I see that he just goes like, well, I don't even know what, you know, this is the way it is. And you're the one who's going to have to do the consciousness work. And my prediction, and predictions are meant to be played with because we're working on creating our reality, right?
Yeah.
My prediction is that if you keep unhooking, like see yourself in a pattern and then do it differently and pull out those the need vibration, that kind of attachment vibration. You know what it is. It sort of pulls your head down a little bit. Maybe it's vibrational, but it looks like you pull your head down a little bit and then you go into this thing as if you're conscripted and you have to be like that. And when you do that, catch yourself and pull back and do it a little differently and start doing it a little differently. Because he will get, it seems to me that he gets confused, and he might even get a little testy, a little angry, but then he watches, and he waits, and I would give him some words to wait with, like, I'm changing here, and I don't think he will just stomp away. I think he'll wait, go through some periods of distress, but I think he would be there. And I say I think, because golly gee, relationships can change in a heartbeat, you know that.
Yes.
We have to remake that decision. You don't have another person in mind, do you?
No, I sure don't.
That's a good thing.
I know that can change. I know that can change at any moment.
Oh, everything can change any moment, but I'm saying to you that there is going to be another person popping up as well. And that might just be to remind you that it's not a flat earth society, that there's always some curves around there. And the thing about you is you're going to grow like mad over the next little while. Your work is going to change. You've got all this artistic stuff coming up. You got some writing coming up. So I'm saying to you, work with the programming where you feel kind of in need of staying in that kind of pattern with him. Work on that. Will you do that?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, many blessings, and thank you for being the first caller today.
Oh, many blessings to you. Thank you.
Bye, Cynthia.
Bye-bye now.
Now, that was a good start caller, although that was a very low volume caller, so I'm hoping that either through BBS radio or people's different systems that we'll do a little better on the volume of callers or the loudness, you know. All right, what we're going to start with is we're going to start with a meditation today, and this meditation is to raise your fields and frequency and also to enhance your ability to manifest what it is you want in your life. These are called the structures, and those of you who listen regularly, and I know some of you do, thank you, are very good at doing these structures. Oh, we have a caller. You're on the air. Who are you?
Hello?
Hi.
Is this Ronnie?
Yes.
Oh, hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Oh, are you? Where are you these days? Up in Canada?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful.
Where are you?
I'm just down in the same part of town, same places.
Where?
Over in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just checking in. It's good to hear you, and I just wanted to see what you have to take a look at where things are going for me these days, if you see anything.
Hang in there. Just hang on a sec.
Especially in regard to the always talking about relationships and seeing where that might eventually go to.
Good old relationship. Huh? Are you in a relationship?
No.
Okay. Because you don't look like it.
Say that again. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, I know. It's not very good, is it? We're having a technical difficulty right now. All right. So now, now I've got it. It's funny because we thought you were going to be in a relationship a long time ago, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm seeing is that we're going back into past patterns, is you have a pattern which goes down through your stomach area and it holds you kind of in place. Are you working hard? Are you teaching or what?
No, I'm doing art. I'm a photographer.
Excellent. Are you traveling?
Not so much, but doing it all the time.
And you're making your living at it?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, what?
Somewhat.
But honey, you know what's interesting about you? You are wildly creative and you're very good at being creative, but you've got this really tense holding pattern in your vibrations, and it's running right down the frontal part of your body. Can you feel that?
I know what you're talking about when you say it, so I guess I could say yes to that.
Okay, so what we're going to do is call up that, get it, all the people that are listening, we're going to call up in your body, mind, those kinds of tensions which you hold in yourself against the problems of we're really working on change here, because like you're really unfolding and moving forward, but there's this confinement in you, and then the radiance doesn't go out there. I don't see you being single for the rest of your life, but I'd sure like you to release this confinement. How's your body pain? Is it okay?
It's better.
Good girl. So you've done some big progress, haven't you?
I think so.
Yeah. So let's go back into your body, and everybody at home, drop into your body, most particularly in the gastrointestinal system, and we're going to ask for help from the guides and angels as we send a violet fire, we send a light of transformation up through the belly area. Yeah. And now I'm seeing in your heart, Carol, that you have it's like a self-protection in your heart. You know, it's so interesting. When we want to meet somebody, very often when we've been, you've heard me say this before, when we've been single for a long time, we actually close off our fields and frequencies. And there's a tension in and around your heart. And I'm going, go in there and release it right now if you can. And we're just sending some light coming through. Can you feel the energy come through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're running the energy in through the heart at this point. And as you do, remember that your vibration beckons someone else who has a matching field and a matching frequency. And I don't think he's that far away, but with people like you, I have several clients who've taken like 10 years. So I always hate to, I shouldn't say hate, I always am reluctant to say, oh, I see somebody coming, because it might be a long time for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there's someone new on the horizon. It has to do with your art and
mm-hmm.
the business of the art. It seems like it's to do with you opening your heart as well, because people don't see you as vulnerable, do they?
I don't really know how people see me, to be honest.
I would say they don't see you as... You look very powerful and very kind of with it in yourself, like a person who's gotten, what would you call it, sovereignty over self. You look like that.
Well, I feel that way.
Well, excellent. But I'll tell you what, you're more of it now than you were 5 minutes ago, because you've released something really big in your, I would say, solar plexus going down a little bit and up into the heart. You've released something, and that, in turn, radiates out a kind of a softness and much more compatibility with several people.
Hmm.
If I were you, we're going to do the structures right after we finish this call.
You're going to do what? I couldn't hear that.
They're called the structures. They're vibrational shaping. You go in, and it really enhances your meditation. It enhances your manifestation.
Uh-huh.
And I would, if I were you, go in and really energize your desire and your manifestation. You also, are you going to go to an art show?
Yeah, I do go to them. I have work in them and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, because there's one coming up that I think is going to have a really wonderful influence on your life, on
mm-hmm.
not only your life, but your work and your market.
Hmm.
And it's coming up pretty soon. It's not immediate, it's not right in your home environment, but it's not far away.
Is it in Colorado?
It could be, yeah.
I don't think I'm going, but there is something there, yeah.
Well, there's this one you're going to go to, so I don't know quite where it is.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in east from where you are, but it's very, very lively, and there's something that triggers an awakening. You know how, I'm 100 years old, I always say that, but... I get these awakenings where all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and you go, boing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get some of that coming up pretty soon. And I feel like it's at an art show, and it awakens a whole stream. You're very, very creative. It awakens a whole stream of how you do your art and how you do your long-term vision of what your art's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually a multimedia kind of girl. You know that.
Maybe, yeah. Do you think it will all be successful with this?
Yes, I do.
It feels like it's just something I'm doing, and people love it, so.
I think you have a special knack, but I'll tell you what you're adding. Of course, anything, any art quest would be like this, eh? Where you're going to add something else to it.
Yeah.
So, but I would say that's coming up through a big click in some kind of showing.
Huh.
And there's possibility of a man there. If he's not there, you meet him through people there. So go to the ones that you can go to. Trust that you won't ever miss anyone that's yours.
That's good.
Right?
Thank you so much. It's so nice to hear you.
It's nice to hear your voice, Carol. Many blessings. Let's love you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Well,
I think our technology isn't quite right, is it? We're having a little problem with our technical doodah here today. I hope that you people can hear me. Anyway, so what we're going to do is the structures, and on the structures, today, I'd like you to focus, take a deep breath. Does that feel good? And I'd like you to create a golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 miles, and a golden ball below your spine, perhaps 20 to 40 feet. Good. And drop a filament of light, a beautiful, radiant, radiant filament of light, the color of your choice, from the upper golden ball down through your head, through your spine, to the lower golden ball. Excellent. And you can actually feel that frequency. And now around your body, maybe 8 feet in radius from your body, I want you to create a series of golden balls that make a circle all around your body. And now from the upper golden ball to the series of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink filaments of light, radiant, radiant pink. Now mine are going pink and gold, pink and white, pink and gold. So if you always do that, just go with it. Don't argue with it, because that's a presence from your higher self, and it really means a lot. And not just because of sentimentality, but because it has a certain vibrational impact as the colors shift. Just let it talk to you and make that upper canopy good. Now from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, the pointed down canopy, good. And now inside, you're going to make a crystal ball. And that crystal ball, and you can hold your call, I'll be with you in a minute. And that crystal ball, can you feel it? You're in the feminine energy, a beautiful, pulsing, feminine energy. Oh, my, it's lovely. And this crystal ball, to me, today, looks just very etheric with these subtle frequencies all through it, subtle colors. And now inside of that, you're in a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And what you're in seems like a diamond. So you're in a diamond. You are a diamond. Mm-hmm. And now spin and spin and spin in this diamond. Spin and spin, and all those frequencies are around you and in you, and you spin and spin and spin and spin. Great. And whilst you're spinning, see on the magic screen in front of you little movies of all the various things that you want to create in your world and in your life. And in those movies, see yourself, feel yourself participating in aspects of your life you want to charge up. Or if you're putting in people who need healing, people you're trying to help, people you're worrying about, to see if you can really feel and empathize with them as well and understand them and send love. And then you just put them in those movies and you keep watching them and enjoying them. So take a few minutes. Take a few minutes, whether it's situations of yourself, what you want to create, resolutions of problems, maybe their health problems. Maybe you're wanting to open your third eye. Maybe you're wanting to heal love. Maybe you just want to evolve. Mm-hmm. How's your health? How's your path? How's your journey? Excellent. Don't forget to throw Bush in one of those movies, too. And the whole election. And the well-being of people around this world. And you come back, return to your double tetrahedron. Good. And now spin and spin and spin and raise your frequencies. Now, how did that feel? You know, what's fascinating about that is when you come back out of your spinning tetrahedron, when you're having a situation, maybe, it's just funny little situations. Maybe you get a speeding ticket or something. Oh, I know you'd never do that. But say you put your policeman in a double tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. Spin your car to make sure that your car is covered with light and ready to raise above any problems on the road. And you're having a business deal and just spin it in your double tetrahedron. You're having a meeting that's kind of a questioning meeting. Put it in your double tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin. That raises the fields and the frequencies. So now we're back in the room, and we have another caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air, or is it evening where you are?
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. It's very interesting, your topic for today.
Good.
I just actually put out to the universe a situation that has kind of repeated itself over the years, and briefly what it is that it's a yearly anniversary for an addiction that I've given up.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more time goes on, less people acknowledge this time, even though I get more years.
Oh.
And I don't know what that block is. It's almost like a block from allowing the good to come in. And I've had that happen for birthdays. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, sort of. Are you saying that the celebration of your annual addiction anniversary?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in AA, so I'll just tell you that.
Yeah.
But, and so when I announce at a meeting how much time I have, when I only had a couple of years, people would come up and say, that's great, do you want to speak at meetings? And now, hardly anybody approaches me or asks me to speak at meetings. And it's interesting that that started happening when I kind of started getting to the teenage years of how long I'd been sober. So.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and I think it must be some sort of block, because I've checked it out with people, and they say, no, you don't, you know, you're real approachable and stuff, and I'm just wondering.
Is it normally a big celebration for people when they get on with it?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really big, so.
But honey, you know, what's your first name?
It's Rebecca.
Rebecca. One of the things I noticed about your energy is that you, it's not slumped, what is it? It's not as, I want you to stand really tall right now and breathe really deeply. Because you're not putting out a very strong vibration right now. And you know what's interesting, Rebecca, is you can actually feel invisible in a group by letting your vibrations move in and stay tucked inside yourself. It's like tucking your blouse in, isn't it?
Yeah, I was almost wondering. It's like I'm present but not seen is how I was kind of identifying it.
Exactly. But I say to you that one of the things that I see about your frequency is that it's a bit slumped. And when we're like that, we usually don't get much attention.
Okay, even though my vibration might be high, it's kind of bended over. Is that what you mean, or folded up?
It looks like you... Are you very empathic?
Yes.
Here's what it looks like to me. It's like you looks like you have a little vibrational thing all around you. So if it's high, your high frequency isn't getting out. It's staying inside, and you have a cover over it.
Okay.
And I want to say to you, sometimes you work out, don't you?
Yeah.
I think sometimes right after that, but you have a little bit of an emotional droop going on, my girl.
Yeah, I'm going through a lot of grieving, of letting go and creating my new life, so there's a lot of sadness in that.
Oh, did you recently split up with someone?
Oh, no, no. I'm getting rid of old stuff from an old relationship and looking at going into a new job and, you know, just a lot of those changes where old paradigms are shifting and stuff. So there's a lot of sadness behind that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what sadness does is it sometimes cloaks us for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because I'm just saying to you that it's really hard to recognize your light in that kind of situation right now. And you can change it. I'm looking at it going, huh, I want you to kind of do some meditation or some breathing. Or the other thing about sadness and grief, and this is something I have to remember, is it's really important to feel it and grieve and all that, but it's really important to release it.
Okay.
Especially these days, because we manifest in a, you know, a blink of an eye a lot, and if
yes.
we stay in the sadness, it just looks like a mantle of despair.
Okay.
And people don't get your, you have really beautiful light,
mm-hmm.
and people don't get it like that, because they can't see into it.
Okay. And also, I'm embarrassed the more time that I have, and I shouldn't be, but I don't know why I'm embarrassed about it, and that might be coming out as well.
What are you embarrassed about?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm just kind of embarrassed about it, so.
But, okay, what I'm looking at inside is you have an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to you that, you know how we talked at the beginning, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but we're talking about how we all go back into when we're in a time of change, which indeed you are, my dear,
mm-hmm.
and we go back into an old way of making ourselves safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we say that you would be all exaggerated, say, okay, you're skulking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sense of self-consciousness, of shyness, of embarrassment, and also some shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? You made, in some ways, you've made a huge step out of what you've been like,
mm-hmm.
like a quantum leap. In other ways, you're still running the old programs and going back into safety.
Mm-hmm.
I would look myself right in the eye, call up feelings of, is it shame? Is that what it is?
No, it's been situations where maybe, like, if I've been, like, the top student, but there's been a huge gap between me and the next student behind me,
mm-hmm, right.
There's that embarrassment of almost being such a wide gap,
hmm.
if that makes sense.
But it's funny because I think that is shame, actually. Shame is sort of a weird thing that we all have on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult to get out of it because it gets passed on by all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep seeing this kind of mantle thing around you. So the habitual, I don't have the right to be this far ahead of people and all of that, that's just a shame-based thing. It isn't really who you are. Who you are wants to jump forward and be really sort of a strong leader teacher, and I see that coming up. But you have to break out of this mantle, and some of it is simply shame.
Okay.
And it's not just your own, it's what comes up. It's like, I don't have the right to be this. I don't have the right to be so good. I don't have the right to look that good. I don't have the... I'm going, yeah, you do. And if somebody else was doing it, you would be glad for them.
That's exactly it. It's like, it's okay to just kind of be, you know, hanging out in the masses and be maybe just a little bit kind of out in front. But in certain areas, it's a quantum leap for me.
Yeah, and what's your job? Because I feel like in your job, you're going to stick your neck out.
Well, I'm applying for different jobs right now. I want a job as a corporate concierge at a company where you plan events and stuff like that. So,
excellent.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun job, and part of me says, well, why would you get it? You know what I mean? When I really want it. So.
But, honey, by the same token, there's a part of you that's going to go, I got it. What right do I have?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this would be a job that would be so fun for me that I would get paid for, because
mm-hmm.
I've even wanted to do this, like, I've done a lot of this kind of stuff for my friends without even being paid. So it'd be like, gosh, to get paid for this.
Well, you know something? You're the kind of person that needs to step out. What is that? You're the kind of person that needs to go ahead of the crowd ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that programming that keeps you questioning
mm-hmm.
that is pivotal in your change. I would call up that feeling. It's all it is a program. All it is a feeling. Call it up. And feel it and stand up and say, I really feel like I don't have a right to be this far along in my program. Because people are not off-put, because you don't turn people off, but they just don't really notice you because you have this, like, shawl around you. You see?
Okay, yeah, especially about certain things.
Yeah.
And other things I don't. Okay, so call it up, you mean like meditate on it and write on it?
Yeah, I just do it simply like this. I want to feel the whole thing. I want to feel, maybe Veronica's wrong, I want to feel the whole dang thing. I want to feel shame. I want to feel it hanging on my body like an old shawl I don't care about anymore.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much. This is just so great because this has been something that's been a block for years, but sometimes you have to get bigger blocks out of the way before you can get to these, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I sure do. And I do want you to wait 1 minute because when you call it up and feel it and really get aware of it, you command total release of it and you can stomp your foot and say to your angels, take it now.
Okay.
I get really obnoxious because I'm like that anyway, and the angels just laugh.
Okay.
So, but they will, the reason I do that is to be really insistent about what it is I'm trying to clear.
Okay.
And if you do that, you'll find a shift in your body, and I believe you're going to get very electric and very known for your abilities, and you will not be ashamed.
Okay, and then do I ask for protection from that, like, re-entering my energy fields, or that won't be necessary?
Yeah, I would ask to be shown. I keep saying just call it up and pray to be shown when it comes up again because you don't want to live in that reality any longer.
I see.
I'm done with that. But my sense of you is you're going to move really fast all of a sudden. It'll just be a memory.
Yes, yes, yes. I feel like I'm going down the road with 1 foot on the gas and 1 foot on the brake.
And the guides are saying this to you right now is that same shawl mantle reaction will start coming up again in a few years, and you'll go, oh, I know what this is.
Okay.
You just call it up, experience it, and command total release. Don't be living in it and wondering how on earth to be bothered with it, you know?
Awesome.
All right, darling. Thank you for your courageous call.
Oh, thank you so much.
And best wishes on your big jump.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
So that was really interesting because we don't allow ourselves, do we, to be exceptional or to be great, but that's what she's stepping into at this time. But it's interesting that the reflection we get back from society is pretty fast at saying, we're not paying any attention to you, you're not putting anything forward that might be of some kind of help to the rest of the world. You know, they're treating her like she's kind of mediocre or something. She's really not. She's treating herself like she should be mediocre, but she's really not. And that pattern, Rebecca, comes from early childhood and some kind of training that happened I would say like 2 to 5 years old, somewhere in there. So really deep training about probably a religious or quasi-religious training about what you're allowed to be and not to be too important and not to be greater than other people and not to think you're such hot stuff. It's funny, in metaphysics, we're always trying to train ourselves to realize that we're hot stuff. I've got a wonderful, wonderful client. I've got a wonderful guest coming up on Paradigm Shifters today at 5 o'clock. Is Dr. Meg. And Dr. Meg has written a book called Conversations with Children of Now. She has done a huge amount of research. Dr. Meg's pretty interesting herself. She's an intuitive and a healer. And she's seen a lot of UFOs and orbs and has done travel all over the world to sacred sites, is very cognizant of energy fields. She has a radio show on, Shirley MacLaine's website. Anyway, she has done a terrific amount of research with the children who are considered to be crystalline children, indigo children, the children who are born and still awake to what the whole understanding of the universe is, and children who come in with a great deal of information to share. One of the biggest complaints, and I really just love this book, which I went through before today's show, one of their biggest complaints is that because they're kids, nobody really listens to them anyway. And one of the questions a lot of you have asked me said, can you do some research? Can you tell us how to raise these special kids that are coming in? How do these kids get raised? Because usually they get shut up, they get ignored, or we talk about all these kids with Asperger's or various problems. A lot of indigo children are into drugs and alcohol and are fighting the status quo, and some of them are very much just amazingly brilliant children. But how do you bring them up so they don't have to be so angry? The indigo children, from my understanding, are really, really angry because the world isn't truthful. So when people, adults don't, and authority doesn't say what it really means, it says what it wants you to do or something. So if you have an indigo child around you and you aren't really true to yourself, they will hate you. They'll be furious. And, I mean, how many of us grew up? I mean, in my day, how many of us grew up being really true to ourselves? I mean, people would just say, who do you think you are? So the learning curve for the society is really very steep right now of us trying to be authentic, trying to be in the truth of who we are, honest about our feelings and so on. In the meanwhile, these special children who come in with a certain vibrational appearance, they come in at a certain vibrational wave, are really wanting to push the consciousness of the species to a higher collective level. So they want us to become more authentic, they want us to support one another, they want us to heal the planet, they want us to relate to the unseen in multi-dimensions. They don't believe that the third dimension is all there is. Some of them see angels and spirits all the time and see healing in each other. They have a terrific amount to teach us. So Dr. Meg's got a ton of research, a couple of books, and lots to talk about with that. So tune in at 5 o'clock for that. Again, this is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to BBS, wonderful BBS Radio, which is bringing so much interesting perspective out to the world, to the whole entire world. So I'm talking to you all around the world. What we're talking about today is how in our quest to become authentic and our quest to become really powerful, meaning not powerful over others, but to be empowered deep within and to be authentic about who we are, I'm very fascinated by how we retreat to certain patterns of self-defense and protection that came up from our childhood. Our job is always to step out of these old patterns, and it's a big job, isn't it? A lot of us talk about resistances, competition, hidden betrayal energies, all of that kind of stuff, which keeps popping up, attracting itself, attracting drama around you, and then you end up back on the old cycle going, golly gee, I've been doing this my whole life. And the guides are saying earlier that sometimes our defenses, whether you're very resistant, or whether you become like Rebecca, you get yourself becoming very invisible, whether you're shame-based, whether you're shy, all of those things are often resonant way down deep in the soul journey and are kind of a part of the weaving of your personality in relationship to your soul journey. So the guides are saying they don't go away, but you make them really manageable. So it's my interest in talking to people and talking about patterns that you want to make manageable so they don't run you. You run them. Now, we don't have a caller right now. I'd love it if we did. So what I'm going to do is pick somebody that I see out there. Are you ready? Let's see. I'm going to pick you. And what I see is a wonderful, wonderful woman. And yet what she's got is a way of self-sacrificing in order to get things done. So it's like she does a whole lot of things, but she's developing a huge problem in the gastrointestinal tract, mostly the belly area, which houses the karmic memories, the programs of karma, the unconscious, the influence of other people, parents, authority, sexual stuff, and so on. And I see her being very light and bright, but what she's holding in the belly is a really deep kind of karmic, again, I say self-sacrifice, so that in her quest to become authentic, she keeps tripping over finding herself up to her ears in the needs of other people. Now, I think that she works with other people in some way. I don't think she's just a healer. She works with other people in a lot of ways, but the thing she keeps losing, she keeps drowning in not being herself or not allowing herself to have what it is she wants. And I believe it's created, the guides are calling it psychic illness at times, but I'm also seeing, yes, that she gets physical illness, particularly in the gastrointestinal system. I'm going, okay, so all of us, every one of us who wants to be a helper, each one of you out there who's listening to this is a healer at some level and wants to be very much a helper or someone who participates in the changing and unfolding reality of our society, right? So we have to kind of unhook these programs, and this self-sacrifice doesn't work to help us be authentic. So let's everybody do an exercise for the sake of this woman that we're looking at, who I believe is listening to this show. Yes, you are. I see several of you thinking it's about you, so that's good, because that means that you're resonating with this particular issue. You can be a man and be resonating with this particular issue as well. It's not just about women. So let's call up, wrap yourself in light, always wrap yourself in light, because we can share one another's hidden issues vibrationally if we're not careful. So wrap yourselves in light, and let's call up, oh yeah, and we'll call in the guides and angels and ask for help as we call up in our body-mind all the energy of self-sacrificing. And what does it feel like? Where is it in your body, first of all? And what does it feel like to self-sacrifice? It might feel like, gee, I just need to do this and this. I'll think about that later. Oh, gee, I'll just keep going and eventually it'll all work out. Okay. Oh, yeah, I am tired, but I'll just keep going because that's what a good person does. What does it feel like to you? And is it showing up in your arms or your chest or your belly? Where is it showing up in you? Somebody's got it in the back of the head. Somebody's got it in the throat. Somebody's got it in the feet and shins. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? That's how we go ahead in life. Now exaggerate all the energy of self-sacrifice. Exaggerate all that energy and ask for help from the guides and angels. And now let's command total release of that energy now. Total release of that energy now. And feel it sloughing off your body. Good. And now what we're going to do is bring in the spiraling platinum light. Call it in from the great central sun. And you've got this amazing spiraling platinum light coming in through the top of your head. And like a bottle washer, it's going to wash out, wash out, wash out all of that self-sacrificing energy. Yeah. Now remember, we all want to serve and help people, but you want to come from a place of authenticity to be who you really are. The other thing is we want to come from a place of power, and a power, feeling of power, the kind that we're really after, is the power of being powerful. who you really are, being in tune with your soul journey and actually putting your gifts forward into the world. And that in truth will help a lot of people. And the more loving we feel we are, you know, the more you can really feel in love with your life and your day, the more you can help people. It's really amazing. All right, the other thing that we can do is, the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to take the structures. I want you to feel the art of building your light and building your resonance and creating into the world from your authentic nature. It's so uplifting. So those of you who want to create radiance, I'm thinking of Rebecca here, how she was presenting herself to the world was like letting an old response hang on her vibrationally. I know she didn't have something hanging on her, but I could see it all around her body, kind of an emotional mantle. And then if you put yourself with something like that in the structure, and we might change the style of the structure, we'll have a golden ball above and a golden ball below. The golden ball above can be about 2 miles high, and the golden ball below 40 feet, and drop the filament of pink or pink-white light all the way through your body, through your head, all the way through your spine, into the lower golden ball. Now that alone, okay, that art alone is really amazingly electrifying. Can you feel that? Now that would raise your fields, and like acupuncture can dispense with a certain amount of that mantle. For example, we're using Rebecca, using an example today. And now we're going to change the style of our structure. And I want you to see that double tetrahedron in a different way. We're going to see the top part be very big and go right up to the upper golden ball, and the lower part smaller and going to the lower golden ball. So there's your structure, and it's a big double tetrahedron. It's gorgeous, and it's bright, bright gold. At least mine is. What color is yours? And then inside of that, again, your crystal ball. And inside that, the smaller double tetrahedron, three-sided pyramid pointing up and three-sided pyramid pointing down. And there you are inside of its diamond shape. And you're spinning and spinning. Now you can just say you had that mantle on, or say you were doing a whole self-sacrificing thing. Get in there and then just spin and spin and spin in that double tetrahedron. And just feel it melt off. Feel the change. It's really amazing. Now whilst you're doing that, you can also see yourself on the screen. And you can be doing wonderful things, helping people and getting a big bang out of yourself and laughing a lot. And enjoying your life. Oh, it's amazing all you can do. I can feel it. Can you? So we're almost done with this show. So, we better come back out of the double tetrahedron. But I want to remind you that using those structures and shapes can actually enhance the way other people respond to you. You can enhance your manifestations, your job, the kinds of things you're trying to bring to you. And Carol and her quest for a mate. She's not trying really, really hard for a mate, but I saw one potentially coming there, and I saw her heart being somewhat, stably held together, like a lot of us who are noble and have been single a while, kind of hold the heart together. It's not wrong to be very, very loving, and she has a natural lovingness in there. Climb into that double tetrahedron, take off in your spaceship, and spin and spin, and let your heart open and open, because it's not only about meeting a partner, because I think she's going to meet one soon. It's about having yourself being in love with life and your productivity and what you can manifest when you're like that, and how much you can help people and how little you need to sacrifice yourself. It's pretty stunning. So once again, use those structures with a great deal of humor and joy, and appreciate the beauty of them and the beauty of yourself as you change. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and next week, guess who's coming on? We're going to have on Paradigm Shifters next week. This week is Dr. Meg Blackburn. I've already said that. So if you can tune in at 5 o'clock tonight, which is 5 minutes from now, I'd love you to listen to Meg Blackburn about all the wondrous consciousness coming through with these new kids. But next week is John Gray. Talking about, I can't remember the name of his new book, but I know it's on its way here, so I can talk about it with a little more grace. But anyway, he's been talking about men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And his latest work is all about hormonal studies he's done and how men and women adapt differently and emotionally to change and to one another, and how we can really identify what's going on with each other and make our relationships much more compatible. I'm very excited to be talking to him as well. And I'll be on Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing, at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Now that's a show where we've been crawling through the shadow and all of its wondrous tools for self-defense and patterns that we keep promoting and passing on to the future generations. It's very powerful work. So tune in to ET Healing at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and I'll see you on Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 p.m., and thank you for those tremendous calls. What wonderful, courageous calls we had about shifting our patterns. So I'll see you in 5 minutes. I'm about to leave the air and come right back on. Much love and many blessings.